In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Well, yes, indeed. It is time for us to talk movies. Pass the Popcorn, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10, 557 Stillwater Avenue, Bangor, where they have a film for everybody in the family. Alan Adams from The Main Edge joins us. Hello there, Mr. Adams.
Hello, hello. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Yourself?
I can't complain.
You had a good weekend?
I did. We opened Ripcord at Penobscot Theater Company. We'll just say it was an eventful opening weekend. And anyone who wants to know more about it, well, it's you'll have an easy enough time to figure it out. I myself am not going to go on the record talking about anything that went down. But yeah, if you want to know, the information is out there should you choose to seek it out.
Yes, indeed. And you still, because this is just the kind of hardworking guy you are, you found a way to get to the movies and check out a couple of films this weekend.
I did. I did get to the movies. I went to see the sci-fi thriller Captive State and the young adults dying teen romance 5 Feet Apart. Mm. What would you like to talk about, Rich?
Oh, dying teens. Please, yes, please.
So 5 Feet Apart, which I just assumed was the was a young adult novel that had been adapted, but apparently this is a direct to the screen story, although it is based on apparently based on a real story. But it's basically about two teenagers suffering from cystic fibrosis. And the fact that they're in the hospital at the same time for their treatments, and you know, you've got the one who's a sunshiny optimist, and then you've got the other one who's sort of a rebellious bad boy. And wouldn't you know it, Rich, they fall in love.
What?
I know. Man, that's I wouldn't have seen it coming.
Unexpected.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't. You know, and these movies are always about how star-crossed the lovers are. The particularly crossed stars in this situation, apparently, and this is something I didn't know, and so, you know, kudos to the movie for raising awareness in at least some respects. Cystic fibrosis patients are not are discouraged from having any contact with one another.
Hmm.
Because the specificity of the bacterial infections that they can get in their lungs can preclude them from being eligible for transplants down the road.
Wow.
Which is something I didn't know. And that's our basic conflict here. You've got a young woman named Stella suffering from cystic fibrosis. She is back in the hospital for another treatment regimen. She's a smart girl, you know, very studious, possessed of a certain degree of optimism that you don't necessarily expect from those possessed of terminal disease. Like, she does a series of like online videos to sort of inform and entertain regarding her ailment. She's been in and out like her entire life. That's the sort of the deal with cystic fibrosis. And so she returns to the hospital where she is on a first name basis with the staff and all of these other folks. But there's someone new. There's someone new. There's a brooding young man by the name of Will, and he is, you know, he has a bacterial infection that that means that he cannot, he's not eligible for a lung transplant, but he's there for a drug trial, a sort of experimental treatment that may or may not help, you know, extend the effectiveness of his lungs. And so immediately there, you know, there's a sort of meet cute in the hallway where, you know, where the rules are established. Apparently 6 feet is the number as far as like as far as how far apart they're supposed to stand. You know, they wear masks and they're not supposed to make contact with one another and all that stuff. At first, you know, they butt heads. I know that shocks you that they would be in conflict at first. But as things progress, they rapidly begin falling for one another. And as a celebration, an effort to take back some of their own romantic feelings, they say, you know what? By gum, we're going to stay 5 feet apart instead of six.
Oh.
They're going to take back that one foot, Rich. And yeah, and it It all boils down. It all comes together about how you would anticipate. It's like someone tried to program an algorithm to write like a John Green novel. That's how this thing plays out. It's very formulaic, very by the numbers. But that being said, we've talked about this before. I'm easily manipulated emotionally. Even when I know that my buttons are being pressed and strings are being pulled, the visceral reaction remains. I'm angry about it because I know I'm being manipulated, and I'm conscious of how unearned the emotions that they're eliciting are. But you know, it still happens. And I have to say, the screening I attended, which was surprisingly full for a Saturday afternoon, and just jammed with teenage girls. they reacted in a much more honest way to the movie than I did. It's been a while since I was in a movie theater that was so there were sobs involuntary expressions regarding the action. I was no, how could you, and stuff like that. These kids were into it, and so I'm forced to come to terms with the fact that, Rich, I don't know if this movie was made for me.
What?
I know.
You're kidding me.
I know, but I don't know that I was necessarily the target audience for this, teenage romance between terminally ill teenagers. I just don't know if that was for me. Look, it's formulaic and it's plotting. I will say the two performances at the center, Haley Lou Richardson, who plays Stella, and Cole Sprouse, who plays Will, they're very good. They're very talented, talented performers. The chemistry between them is genuine. There's a very strong connection there, and that connection is the only reason this movie is merely bad and not abysmal. They do the best they can with what they're given, and kudos to them. But holy cow, is this movie terrible, Rich. It's one of those things where I don't mean to make light, but I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, I wish I, it made me wish that I had a terminal illness, but I'm not going to say that.
Thank you.
I'm just going to say that, I could think of much better ways to spend a couple of hours. Again, the two lead performances, perfectly fine. They did their best. But this is what happens when you hire robots to write your touching teen drama screenplays.
So, who is the target audience? All of those weeping girls.
Yes,
right?
100%. Yeah, it's sad feeling teenage girls who I'm sure romanticize the crap out of this sort of this doomed relationship. I don't get it. I never got it. But really, it's a Romeo and Juliet for our times, our stupid, stupid times.
All right. That's film number one. Tell me number two was better.
Not a ton better, okay, but it was better. Right. Captive State. I'm always going to be there for an alien occupation movie. Human history has shown us that whenever there is an occupying force, people are going to fall in one of two camps. They are either going to collaborate or they are going to resist. And there's no reason to think that that would be any different if the invaders came from another planet instead of another country. And so here we are. Captive State, it takes place roughly 10 years after first contact. The aliens who have arrived basically taken over. They've dubbed themselves the legislators, and they build walled compounds in the center of numerous cities enlist people to dig gigantic tunnels into the earth so they can set up their bases where they operate for reasons that are never really adequately explained. I don't know why they have to be underground, but but there you have it. You've got a young man by the name of Gabriel Hammond, who is played by the young man who played Chiron in Moonlight. Remember that. He's living under occupation, trying to figure out a way to get out of Chicago and, to a place where he can have a little bit more freedom, because he's living in basically a constant surveillance state. The legislators have outlawed digital communication and all that. So we're back in an analog world, except for the legislators themselves and their collaborators, who have access to much more advanced technology. Gabriel's issues spring from the fact that his brother is a martyr to the resistance cause, who died in an effort to take down the legislators some years prior, and is also of particular note to a police commander by the name of William. William Mulligan, played by John Goodman, who's great.
Oh, wow.
And who also happens to be the former partner of Gabriel's now deceased father. And so, you've got this kid sort of thrust in the middle of all this. Meanwhile, it turns out that, most people think the resistance has been thoroughly squashed. Turns out that might not necessarily be the case. Oh. And so Gabriel finds himself sort of thrust into the middle of this particularly tangled web of things, where he's not entirely sure what his place is. He's not sure what side he really wants to be on, and he's not sure exactly what it is that that he's willing to fight for.
Hmm.
And that's basically all I can do without venturing too far into spoiler territory. It's fine. Like, it's a fine movie. Like, it's a perfectly adequate piece of sci-fi entertainment. Like, that's the setup's pretty strong, and it's got a nice ending. The middle kind of meanders a little bit. I found myself, I checked my watch a couple of times, which is never a great sign. But like I said, Goodman's great. Sanders, the kid who plays Gabe Hammond, he's very good as well. There are some interesting figures who pop up. Classic that guy Alan Ruck is here. Kevin Dunn makes an appearance. Yeah. Vera Farmiga is in this movie as well. Although none of those people are particularly like present in the film. Like, they all show up for a couple of scenes. One gets the impression that they were basically shoehorned in regards to availability and whatnot. The aesthetic is maybe the best thing about this movie. I'm a big fan of the sort of lo-fi, like gritty kind of sci-fi future type stuff. Honestly, the first analog that sprung to mind for me was stuff like by Neil Blomkamp, like District 9 or Elysium, stuff like that. Although this movie's not nearly as good as anything that that Blomkamp has put together, but that sort of aesthetic, particularly the marriage of sort of the alien and the human, is very present here. Goodman, like I said, is phenomenal. Like, he's easily the best part of this movie. It's strange. You wonder how he wound up here in a lot of ways. But the reality is, like, he's one of those guys who, I think, he likes to work, and, he's also very confident in his ability, I think, to elevate whatever material he's working with. And so he's happy to do this sort of movie, and he's very successful at it. Ultimately, it's not a good movie by any stretch of the imagination, but it's good enough, if that makes sense. Like, if you're looking to kill, a couple hours with something that's okay, then Captive State will work for you.
Well, there you go. I'm sorry you didn't have a better movie experience this week.
Yeah, right? Well, I'm very eagerly awaiting this weekend Jordan Peele's Us.
Oh yeah,
hits,
yeah.
And I'm very optimistic. I've heard nothing but good things about this one, so
excellent.
I'm pretty jazzed.
And Ripcord back at it Wednesday night.
Yep, Wednesday night we're back at it, and two more weekends. So if you haven't had a chance to check us out yet, by all means, come see it. It's man, I got to tell you, it's the reactions we've been getting have been really great.
And Focus Group has got a show Friday night at the Bangor Arts Exchange.
Yeah, right? Friday night. I'm not going to be there. I don't know if you're going to be there, but some of us will be there.
There'll be a few there.
Yeah.
The other Kimball will be there.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, so March 22nd, 8 p.m. In the ballroom at Bay. It's gonna be a lot of fun. It always is. $5 at the door. You'll almost certainly enjoy yourself.
At least $5 worth.
Yeah, no, I mean, you'll get your money's worth easily within the first 45 minutes.
There you go. Thanks, Alan.
My pleasure.
Now, will we see you Wednesday, or are you going to be wrapped up in pre-show stuff?
That's TBD. Okay. I'm not sure. They might call us early to sort of revisit our revisit the script a little bit before we hit the stage after 2 days off.
So I have a question mark next to your name for Wednesday. I'm going to leave it there.
I think that's probably right.
Okay.
If I can be here, I will. I will.
Fantastic.
We'll put it that way.
Well, if not, then another time.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Alan.
See you, bud.
Alan Adams, Main Edge, Pass the Popcorn.